Our scripture lesson continues and picks up 10 verses later. So when the crowd saw that neither Jesus nor his disciples were there, they themselves got into the boats and went to Capernaum looking for Jesus. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered them, "Very truly, I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For it is on him that God the Father has set his seal." Then they said to him, "What must we do to perform the works of God?" Jesus answered them, "This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent." So they said to him, "What sign are you going to give us then, so that we may see it and believe you? What work are you performing?" "Our ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Very truly, I tell you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Sir, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." This is the word of God for the people of God. So between conferences, college trips, and mission trips, people in our family have been on the road a lot this summer. Traveling the highways and byways, we've seen a lot of billboards advertising all sorts of things: gas, food, and lodging, tourist attractions, medical services, housing developments, even faith. But by far the most common billboard is for food. Fast food, fresh food, fancy food, even Brooke Shields touting something called beautiful food. You name it, if you're hungry, it's out there somewhere. From Chick-fil-A's Stop, Drop, and Eat to Subway's Eat Fresh, you can find all sorts of slogans aimed at tickling your taste buds, quenching your thirst, and sating your appetite. One of my personal favorites is a billboard that I didn't actually see on the highway, but rather on social media. It was for a barbecue place in Round Rock, Texas, whose billboard brags, "You can smell our pits from miles away." I hope they're referring to the food. But perhaps the most direct billboard I saw down on Route 81 in Virginia was for a local restaurant who queried the drivers passing by, "Hungry? Take the next exit." Straightforward and to the point. There is another sign that I see every time I drive down the Sawmill Parkway, just south of the 287 interchange. It says, "Great Hunger Memorial Park," at V.E. Macy. Every time I see that sign, I wonder why anyone would name a park Great Hunger. I've also thought to myself driving by that I could use that in a sermon someday. I guess today's the day. I did some research and learned that Great Hunger Memorial Park is a section of the larger V.E. Macy Westchester County Park. It came by its unusual name in June of 2001, when the Great Hunger Memorial was unveiled there. Created by the Irish sculptor Eamon O'Doherty, the poignant and stunning memorial is a tribute to the millions of people who either perished or were forced to flee their homeland as refugees from the great Irish potato famine of the 1840s and 50s. Hundreds of thousands of them came to the U.S. in search of a better life and a future for their families. So why build this memorial 150 years later, though? According to the Westchester County Parks website, hunger is not alone as a scourge on the planet. UNICEF reports that there are 1 billion illiterate people in the world, 1/6 of the world's population. Furthermore, 1/5 of the world's population has at its disposal 4/5 of the world's resources. The website goes on to say, Churchill remarked that those who are unaware of history or ignore it are doomed to make the same mistakes as those who preceded them. This is the current applicability of this memorial. The Great Hunger Memorial Committee of Westchester County erected a monument not only in memory of those who perished 150 years ago, but to call attention to the homeless, the indigent, hungry, or anyone, whether in this county or across the land, who feels they do not have the means for a meal. How about that? Right here in Westchester County, a monument to hunger. And as the memorial committee rightly noted, there are many different kinds of hunger in the world today. Beyond the hunger for basic food and clean water, people hunger for a home or a job, health care or education. People desire to be treated with dignity and respect, no matter their racial, ethnic, economic, or social identity. People yearn for meaning and purpose in life. People long for love, for safety and security in their relationships and in their communities. People long for freedom, freedom from illness and addiction, freedom from oppression and injustice, violence and war. Maybe that's why every time I drive by the sign for the Great Hunger Memorial Park, I'm tempted to stop and take a look at this concrete representation of the human condition. If the universal human condition can be summarized as a great hunger, then our scripture lesson this morning offers us God's answer to what we need. Starting last Sunday, our lectionary readings from the gospel spend 5 whole weeks in the 6th chapter of John's gospel, which is where our scripture lessons come from this morning. That's a long time to spend on one chapter, so I guess that means there's a lot of important stuff in there. John chapter 6 starts with Jesus feeding the 5,000. A story most of us have heard before, a story that is all about hunger. In fact, all 71 verses of John chapter 6 have to do with our hunger and how God meets it. More than that, this story of Jesus feeding the 5,000 is the only story that shows up in all 4 of the Gospels. Matthew and Mark even tell a version of this story twice. It's so central to who Jesus was and is for us today. You see, God gets our hunger. God sees it, God knows it, and God, in his gracious love and mercy, gives us exactly what we need to meet it. In the story, Jesus had been working hard, teaching and healing and stirring up controversy in the city of Jerusalem, so he decided to take a break and get out of town for a while. He crossed over the Sea of Galilee in search of a mountainside retreat center, only to find that the crowd from Jerusalem was following him. Now, if I were in Jesus' shoes, I'd be kind of irritated. Come on, can't these guys give Jesus a break already? But I guess that's why I'm not the Messiah. Jesus saw the crowd coming toward him. And more than just people, Jesus saw their need. He saw their hunger. Instead of running in the other direction, he turned to his disciples and asked them, "So how are we going to feed these folks?" Philip, the event planner in the bunch, immediately went into party planning mode, but quickly came up empty. He figured it would take at least 6 months of salary to buy enough food for all of the people to get even a little taste, much less a full meal. And they were in the middle of nowhere, for Pete's sake. Where would they find that quantity of food? Then Andrew, who had been canvassing the crowd, brought a little boy forward who had 5 barley loaves and 2 dried fish. This was poor person's road food, the equivalent of a bag of chips and a pack of beef jerky. It was certainly not a feast for a crowd. It's hard to know if Andrew was serious or if he just wanted to point out to Jesus how little food there really was and how ridiculous his question sounded. "No matter," Jesus said, "tell the crowd to sit down." And then standing in their midst, Jesus took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he said, "Rub-a-dub-dub, thank you, God, for the grub." And he started handing out the food. Everyone ate until they could eat no more. And there was still plenty of food. Jesus told the disciples to collect all the leftovers because he didn't want any of that food to go to waste. He would find an empty stomach for it somewhere. Now, there are a lot of lessons that we could take from this story. Like, what does it mean that the only food in the story comes from a poor child rather than a millionaire philanthropist? Or how about when we give Jesus whatever we have, Jesus can multiply our gifts and do great things through us? Or in Jesus' way of hosting a meal, everyone has more than enough to eat, and even the leftovers are worth keeping. Nothing is lost. All is found and filled. But we'll have to save all of those for another Sunday sermon. Today, the important point for us is that Jesus saw the hunger of the crowd, and he satisfied their hunger. This is important because our scripture passage goes on and picks up the story on the next day. After an eventful night during which Jesus walked on water and he and his disciples snuck across the lake to Capernaum, the crowd finally caught up with Jesus again. "Hey, where'd you go?" they said. "We're ready for breakfast. And can you throw in a few more miracles with that bread?" This time, though, Jesus sees not only their hunger for food, but their hunger for something deeper. And he has a different answer for them. "Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life. I am the bread of life," Jesus said. "Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." In his reflection called The Jesus Diet, Father David Celery writes, "The crowd thinks they've caught the gravy train, and they don't want the party to end. After some probing, they put in their order, 'Give us a sign, Jesus, so we can really believe in you. How about a regular diet of manna raining down from heaven?' To the disappointment of the idlers, Jesus is not promising them an endless buffet of material goodies. He is offering himself as the spiritual food that will fill our deepest needs. As Tom Wright says in his commentary on this passage, until the crowd recognizes who Jesus really is, they may be fed with bread and fish, but there is a deep hunger inside them, which will never be satisfied. Until we recognize who Jesus really is and believe, our deepest hungers will never be satisfied either. Retired pastor Benjamin Sparks tells about a certain kind of Christian that the missionaries to China encountered back in the 1800s. He writes, "There was a name in 19th century China for persons who came to church because they were hungry for material food. They converted, were baptized, joined the church, and remained active members as long as their physical needs were met through the generosity of the congregation. But once their material prospects improved and they and their families no longer needed rice, they drifted away from the church. They came to be called rice Christians, people who came to church to have their physical and maybe even emotional and spiritual needs met for a while, but then moved on once their bellies were full and their immediate needs were met." What kind of Christian are we? And more to the point, what are we hungry for? Are we looking for the food that perishes, that fills us up for the moment but leaves us hungry again later? The world around us offers all sorts of fast food, quick fixes, and false promises to fill us up with whatever might take the edge off our hunger, or our ambitious striving, or our soul searching. Whether it's sugar, salt, and caffeine, or something else like success and status, money and power, luxury and leisure, a bigger house, a fancier car, a dream vacation, or an adrenaline-pumping adventure, maybe even alcohol or drugs. We are surrounded by tempting choices and voices that promise us happiness and personal fulfillment, comfort and security. We spend a lot of our lives filling up our calendars and our bank accounts, our bodies and our homes with what we think is manna from heaven, only to discover that it doesn't last, and we are often left wanting more. Our Bible story today asks us, in the words of John Calvin, do we want Jesus to simply fill our stomachs, or do we want Jesus to fulfill our lives? As preacher Deborah Metzger-Shue says, Jesus' real purpose is to provide sustenance that lasts, that keeps us truly alive, that won't feed us one moment and leave us hungry the next. It's almost as if Jesus is saying, I am the real food, the most important food. Don't spend your lives on food that spoils. Don't stock the shelves of your life with perishables. Put me there instead. Make me your staple, the food that's going to last. When you're hungry, says Jesus, reach for me first. You see, as David Sellery writes, we are not only to follow Jesus, we are to consume him as the bread of life. He wants to become part of us, to shape us to his purpose, to live in everything we do. The Father did not send us, Jesus, the bread of life, to work wonders and to preach and to teach and to die for our sins so that we could become a race of spiritual freeloaders. We are here to do God's work in the world. We are here to share the bread of life with a world that is stuffed with sin and starving for love. When we were in Chicago on the mission trip a couple weeks ago, half of our group spent a day working in the Lakeview Pantry. In many ways, it was a lot like our food pantry here, serving people who are down on their luck and in need of assistance. The Lakeview Pantry is open 3 days a week. In addition to food, they offer personal care items, a clothing closet, and a visiting social worker who helps connect the clients to services. I was particularly struck by their motto, food for today, hope for tomorrow. It's a play on a line from the hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, strength for today, bright hope for tomorrow. But more than that, this motto clearly states that the purpose of the Lakeview Pantry is not just to fill up a stomach for a day, to provide hope for tomorrow. I think the motto for today's scripture lesson could be bread for today, food for life. This morning we gather around the Lord's table where Jesus invites us to come and eat, to share in the bread of life and the cup of salvation. This meal is not just about filling our stomachs or the empty places inside us. This meal offers us the food that endures, that will feed us and fuel us for the new life, the abundant life that God created us to live and share with the world. This meal is our calling as a church. We consume this bread, we share this feast, so that we can be transformed into the body of Christ on earth, which sees the hunger of the people and the world around us, and offers them not just bread for today, but food for life. So come to the table. Let's eat. Amen.